Hey everyone, quick announcement this week about the episode. We actually recorded this live with a stream going on. So if you'd like to, you could switch over to the live stream. You can watch me and Dave. We actually incorporate some of the articles we go over, and it's just a new thing we're trying here. Also, because of that, we had a little bit of audio issues, but should be okay. But like I said, it's usually a little bit better if you do watch it. So you can go over to youtube.com/user/theamphour. And also don't forget to subscribe if you think you might like this kind of thing. We probably are going to try this again in the future. On to the show. This is the Amphour Podcast. Released September 18th, 2017. Episode 360. A total 360.
Welcome to the Amp Hour. I'm Dave Jones from the EEV blog.
And I'm Chris Gammel, but we have not yet started.
We haven't shown our faces.
Yeah.
There we are.
Hey.
Hey.
So we figured we'd be doing a total 360 here. That was so lame.
That's very, it is episode number 360.
It is 360.
And I now have the link, and I'm going to tweet it out. And we are live.
Mm-hmm.
So we're live,
and we're trying to. I mean, so the real reason, and the beneficial thing here is that the reason we're doing this in the first place is because Dave now has NBN, man.
Yeah, but my connection was good enough before.
I know, but it's just a way to celebrate it, right?
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah. So
should we explain the mechanism how we're doing this? We are
the
using.
Internet.
The interwebs.
Oh.
This newfangled interwebs thing.
Hey, Dave, I need to tell you here, buddy. I have not started recording on Audacity yet, did you?
Neither have I. Let's start recording on Audacity. There you go. Thanks for reminding us. There we go. We're now recording on Audacity as a backup.
Yeah, we can cut into this now. Let's get that from the top one more time, huh?
No, keep going. Come on. It's
all right.
Live.
So I'm gonna play Dave's part in the radio drama at the end.
No, it's all right. Good. So what we're doing here, normally we use Mumble, which is like a gaming streaming audio thing, to hear each other. Mm-hmm. We don't normally see each other when we do the show, but we can hear each other live. It allows us to talk and allows us to stream guests, listen to guests, and record guests as well.
Right.
And so we're not using Mumble today. We're using Skype, just like we did back in Amp Hour number one, didn't we?
Yeah.
We used Skype and it was horrible. The lag was just...
I mean, everything was bad then, though. I mean, like,
yeah.
Well, people can go listen to it. I mean, we've come into our own in terms of comfort and talking to each other, I suppose, you know?
Yeah. The tools have improved, and Skype seems to work just fine now. Although I can't watch myself. If I'm watching the Skype screen, but it's my feed being fed to Chris, which is then being fed back to me. So I've got to look at my XSplit screen. We're both using XSplit. And that's what Chris is streaming to our Amp Hour YouTube channel.
Yes.
And I'm using XSplit to feed the video from XSplit into...
Right. Dave doesn't need to be using XSplit, but he's doing it as a backup.
No.
So.
But I'm doing... Yeah. Oh, I haven't recorded locally.
Again, still.
Here we go.
Well, this is the thing. So, and the great thing about Mumble, what we got into, what people don't know behind the scenes is that our asses have been saved multiple times by having backups on backups on backups. And so we're going a little bit loosey-goosey here. I guess we have YouTube. If you can hear us on YouTube, then you can hear us, right? So
So
that's
well,
good.
I'm going to call it up now and see if we can get the chat. So I'm going to...
right, and that's the different thing. So
I'm going to mute it there.
Yeah.
And I'm going to open up the chat. Is there anyone there? I can't see any messages at all. Oh, chat. No, there it is.
Three people are watching. Three whole people are watching, Dave.
Three whole people. I'll do the pop-out chat. There we go.
Yeah.
So I've got the pop-out chat now. So
there we go. There's some people now. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Hello, world. There we go.
Yeah.
We're chatting. What's up, nerds? From Mark Smith.
Yeah.
G'day. What we should do is actually put... We should have figured this out before. We should include the chat window on Skype.
No.
No?
Hell no.
No, what, too hard or just?
No, that's like, it's like just allowing people to type whatever they want. No, we don't need.
Oh, right, okay.
We don't need any.
Well, I've done that with live shows before, and it's been okay. But yeah, we could get ASCII penises or something like that. You know.
Well, so what we should say here, though, is that if you're listening or watching or whatever, and you're participating on the chat, we always ask for a question. We try to ask for questions on Twitter beforehand, but if you got any questions. If you have any questions there, just let us know. So
okay. Stefan says the audio for Chris is nice and clear, but Dave, you're like having a cold. Well, I am.
That's
still
actually
getting over.
Australian. That's actually he's Australian.
That's Australian.
So, yeah, right. Yeah, I actually get really distracted. So I do some live streaming once in a while for Contextual Electronics, and I get so distracted because it's just like I'm just like looking at the chat, and my face goes blank and whatever. So.
Oh, here's a loaded question straight up.
No, do not read those.
What?
Let's try and keep on electronics for your people, you know?
Electronics, yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
All right. So it's weird watching the stream come in. So I'm recording video locally. I'm recording audio locally using Audacity, recording video locally using XSplit. I'm streaming XSplit into Skype. You're streaming Skype to YouTube. I'm streaming YouTube back to me. So I'm seeing that delayed feed. It's wow.
It's a lot, yeah. Wow.
There's a lot of stuff involved in just doing this.
Right. What I think about it, so when I talked to Rick on the server farm person, Rick Alter, it was like we are just benefiting from just so much capacity, right? Like why are we streaming video from Australia to Chicago to God knows wherever the YouTube server is, right? I mean, like this is just abundance of technological ability. So yeah.
You're very unprofessional there with your microphone covering your face. What are you hiding?
I got a lip job. Yeah.
Yeah.
My mic doesn't go any lower, man. So.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. Right. Well, that's it. Yeah. Mine's just here. You can probably see the top of the. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, you can't because Skype actually crops the video.
Yeah.
So it's just showing my head, whereas my XSplit feed I'm feeding in is actually much larger than that.
Yeah. So, anyways, that's enough about video. That's enough about setup.
Yep. All right. This
so
is live
we always
amp
go,
hour.
And so what I can also, what I can't, I guess what I can show people here is that we always go off our subreddit, right? So we have our subreddit here. This is what we see. This is what we go off of each and every week. That's true. I got some stuff that's actually not on here this week.
We start out with that, and then we just go off on tangents.
Yeah, right,
you know,
right? As we do. You know, this is always a good place if you. I don't think we'll switch over to doing too much visual stuff just because. Well.
Yeah. Right. Screen capture stuff. Yeah.
Well, not none of that. I mean, like if we start talking about stuff that's on screen, then people who are used to audio
who
then lose
listening
out.
To the amp hour. Well, right. We've still got an audience for the amp, but we'll still export this as an audio stream.
That's right. Yep.
And send it to the amp hour. We'll probably just do that from YouTube because we don't want to have to edit the thing, right?
Yeah, we don't want to have to edit.
Now
that we have video, I can. Yeah, we don't want to have to edit. Right, Dave.
For those who don't know, Chris is the one who does all the heavy lifting on the amp hour. I just turn up at the last minute and press record.
Dave's the talent.
And I'm not the talent. All right. Yeah.
Well, so what's going on with you, man? So what's new? I mean, electronics, anything in your realm these days? You got your DMM going on?
I got my DMM going on. I'm about to release. I'm getting 50 manufactured. I've just put in the purchase order to get 50.
Is that the early release you were talking about? Or is
that of the early release? Yeah. Okay. So 50 people scramble to buy that first up. 25 will go to my patrons, and probably 25 to forum supporters, even though they're kind of sort of the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So early backers will get – well, they're not backers because I'll probably just do it through my EV blog shop.
Oh, okay. So I'm actually
I'm finally about – because I want meters in people's hands so that they can, you know, we can get feedback on that before we go and do the crowdfunder. I'll probably do the crowdfunder at the same time. But before we push the button on, like, making a couple of thousand of them, you know, I would like, you know, 50 people to have them in their hands and go, hey, you know, look. You know, something's wrong.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's user testing.
Because it's impossible to test your own stuff.
Right. You're too close to it, right?
Yes, so too close to it. So, you know, like probably find that, you know, simple things and totally missing when we actually get them in people's hands. And hopefully, like, the hardware should be right. But, yeah.
I mean, how many revs has there been?
Oh, I've got, like, I haven't put them all together. There's got to be 7 or 8 at least.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and they sent me another one this week just because we changed one part on it. So they're going to ship another.
Okay, so these are, like, small, like, manufacturing tweaks? Or these are
just very, very small changes. Okay. Yeah, only once have we, like, completely revised the whole thing when we changed the processor from a PIC24F to an ST ARM micro.
You know, so. One of my friends is a fan of yours, and he was complaining the other day. He's like, yeah, man, I use the same processor that Dave's using in that meter, and I can't find any in the world. And I'm like, that is not why that's happening, right? He was talking about in distribution though, right? And so it's one of those things.
I haven't looked.
What it really is just that. I mean, I don't actually know which variant it is. I know it's an STM32.
I can't remember off the top of my head. Yeah.
But whatever. Is it F3, F4, something?
Oh, probably F4. It's a bell.
Yeah. That's like a Cortex M4, and like those are nice. I mean, they're nice parts. They're cheap as hell. Like, they're great, right?
But, yeah,
like,
but this one's a specific variant because it has the LCD driver built in for that supports the big number of segments I need.
Right. And so it feels like it's this thing where it's like, oh, they're all gone because they're in this one thing I know about. But in reality, it's just in distribution. They just don't stock these things. Like, I would think if it really takes off because of that, right? So if people started designing it in more and more and more.
I doubt it because it's a specific part.
Right, exactly.
Like, not everyone's going to need all that LCD stuff. If you don't need that LCD stuff.
You pay extra for it too, right? I mean, like.
You pay extra and it's a larger pin count, one with higher pin density. Yep. You just don't want that.
Yep.
So.
Right. And so that's what I mean, he knew that too. He was just joking about it. But like, you know, it's like one of those what's it called, like an observation phenomenon type thing where like you think that you're looking at the same thing everybody else is looking at, but it's in reality it's just that those parts aren't available most of the time. You have to order them special from the factory either way, right? You probably had to put in, or your manufacturer had to put in a couple
of
real
order. Don't have any visibility in that they order it they're in Korea, so right. Where's ST? ST is not a Korean company, so
ST manufactures, I think, at TSMC these days, but they are based out of the Netherlands. No, they're ST Micro.
Well, they've probably got multiple fabs.
Yeah,
they
did. Yeah, but south of France, Italy. Mm. I don't know. Whatever.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's great. That's great.
Cool. I just took photos the other day. I am actually going to. I was going to do a crowdfunder. You've seen this like a year ago. It was my sleeve, my little ESD sleeve for storing components, you know, in the ring binder thing.
Oh, yeah.
You remember? Yeah, I was going to do a crowdfunder for that, and things just got in the way, and I never got around to doing it. And some people have asked, hey, why don't you just throw it on your store? So, I'm just going to put it on the store, you know. So I've done a second channel video. I've already done a video like announcing it. But I haven't put it on the store yet, so that'll probably happen today or tomorrow.
Titan of industry right here, folks. So, yeah. Oh, look at this. We got some useful feedback here, too. Mark Smith says ST Micro is a French-Italian multinational headquartered in Geneva from Wikipedia. Look at this. We can have people Wikipedia stuff for us, Dave. Yes!
Yes. All right. Our minions
Thank you, Mark.
Are doing our work for us.
Yes.
Our Oompa Loompa listeners.
No. I could never call him that.
No. I just saw you do the arms. I think we've got like a 30-second delay, 20-second delay on the YouTube stream.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, I'm sure we do. Yeah.
Yeah. anyway, do we have electronics? So, yeah, I'm doing that. I'm stocking. I've got another pocket multimeter I'm reselling. Mm-hmm. So I did a little, like, unboxing review of that. I put it on the second channel.
I saw that thing. It's just like a little cheapo, right?
No. It's probably one of the most expensive pocket multimeters you can get. It's like high end, top of the line. The reason I decided to stock it is because you couldn't buy it outside of Japan. I tried to get
it,
my pocket multimeter shootout.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I love this little thing. It's great. It's bloody expensive. Like the wholesale price from the manufacturer. The reason I got to sell it so high is because the high price from the wholesale price straight from the manufacturer. I'm buying it directly from them in large quantities, and it's still
right. So it's just a cash outlay, and it's like a bunch of cash.
yeah. So anyway, so yeah, it's top of line premium, and you couldn't buy it anywhere else. So I thought, yeah, I'll stock it.
Okay.
Why not? If it doesn't sell, it doesn't sell. I don't, you know, it's just, I'm always looking for like stuff like that for my store, stuff that's not easy to get elsewhere, and it's sort of premium, like, because I don't want to go be selling a $10-$20
right, you're not cheapo doing commodity.
Meat. You just can't compete with eBay and everything else. Right, it's just not worth it.
Right.
So, yeah. So I thought, hey, that's a nice meter. If you want a top of the line one,
great.
It's now available outside of Japan.
Nice. That's great. I had a question for you. Here, I can actually show you my little screen. I started doing this map here, and so like I've been
idea. For concept.
Yeah, so like, okay, so basically this first build was actually first prototype, right? So we've talked about this in the past of like, so you got an idea, you got a proof of concept, right? And so I said ideas like just, you know, system doc, whatever, proof of concepts, like when you're putting stuff together, one-off build. So basically what I was trying to do is map out the different YouTubers in this space, right?
See, I wouldn't do the one-off build. I would skip one-off build entirely there. The proof of concept is you've already breadboarded or veraboarded the thing.
Right.
Like, so that's it. I'd jump from that straight to the production PCB, really.
I totally agree, and I do that as well. But what I'm saying is that some people do this. So I was thinking about Great Scott, right? So I was watching one of his videos, and so like he does those like one-off builds where they're really nice. They're usually modules that are wired together. I was watching like one of the power supplies ones.
How does he build his boards? Because I'm not a regular watcher of his.
He does Veriboard with
Veriboard.
Yeah, with solder bridges.
Okay.
So,
right.
Yep. And so that's the kind of thing where it's like these are like the different things. So like idea and proof of concept, I'd put that in like the Ben Krasnow area, right? And then somewhere between proof of concept and first prototype, I'd probably put you there, maybe even higher than that, because you also do some production.
See,
level
first
stuff.
Prototype wouldn't be a milled PCB.
Yeah, but so or it could be also do a fast turn PCB or, you know, a cheapo PCB, whatever it is. I agree, but I'm just saying that like first prototype's that, then probably like second prototype's like 3D printed or, you know, 3D printed case and, you know, more integration. Maybe you pull modules onto the board then if you're starting to use modules and then start going to production level stuff. But I was just wondering about like if there's a better word for that one-off build thing. That was just what I came up with. I'm not sure if there's an actual name for that stage, you know?
All right. I don't know.
No. Okay. No.
Yeah.
Maybe the audience will know. Really abusing that today. I'm trying to just kind of map out the YouTube space too, because it's kind of interesting to me of like, I mean, in full disclosure, I was thinking about like, well, so my course is kind of more in the, you're ready to finally make a PCB, but like most people shouldn't start there, right? Like most people should be doing proof of concept or one-off builds, that kind of thing of like,
yep.
Like, you shouldn't usually skip that step unless you already know what you're doing, right?
Yes, and right.
So, like, someone like you, yeah, of course, you already know what you're going towards. You might be, or if you've got a build that you've done in the past and you're updating it, right? If you're going from a Rev1 to a Rev2, that's simple, right? You already know generally the case size, all that stuff. But it's this early stuff that's kind of fuzzy.
Although some things don't breadboard easily, that they don't veriboard easily. If you need a high pin count, you can get these breakout, you know, the BGA high pin count QFP to dip packages and stuff like that, but sometimes it's just not worth it. Like,
well,
sometimes
proof of concept
you're just better off getting
be.
One of those cheap ass PCBs and just, you know,
that's true,
doing it. Maybe it depends on the tech, but
I agree. I mean, like, sometimes you need to, like, when people are doing like those FPGA boards that then have the really high speed like interconnects.
Oh, yeah, right.
And then you can build
a daughter
board.
Yeah, but then you usually know what you're doing. But
of
you
course,
usually know what you're doing. You know, if you're jumping, if that's your first project and you're doing high speed differential pairs and whatnot, then you're, you know, you're doing pretty well.
No, yeah, I agree. So, yeah.
Yep.
Well, so I was watching that Great Scott video though, because I've been thinking about, and this kind of ties to your power supply project, but I've been thinking about doing like a portable power supply. That's what I'm kind of interested in. Now, I don't care if it plugs into the
wall. We're working on that again, by the way.
Oh, you are? Oh, great. Okay. So
we were going to brainstorm it today, but David's not in today.
I was going to say, like,
so
bring
it'll
into the
probably
camera,
be
right?
tomorrow.
Just, I'm like, coming to the frame. Okay. And that's the micro supply, right?
That's the micro supply.
Right.
Yep.
Okay. Well, hey, I'm here to brainstorm, man, if you want to brainstorm. The thing I'm wondering about with this is like, okay, So power envelope really matters quite a bit, it feels like. I was thinking like,
oh, yeah.
I was thinking about like, what are the upper rails that I want there to be? So maybe like, you know, 30 volts is pretty standard on a bench supply, but then
yeah,
getting,
but you don't need, nah.
You don't need
I would like, I'd be happy with 15. As long as it could go to 12,
uh-huh.
I'd be happy.
And
as long
so,
as it could cover 12.
Okay. And so
that's pretty typical.
Yeah. And, but you want to, so then like, what about incremental in between then? So like, 0.1 volt
well,
steps,
isn't
0.01
it a fully
volt.
Variable supply?
I don't know. I mean, I'm asking you about microsupply as well. I mean, like, so I...
Oh, well, yeah, we haven't brainstormed. We're going to brainstorm from the start.
Oh, we're you're going to start over. I see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. We're going to start
I mean, so, like, the thing that I was thinking about with
all
this stuff is kind of looking at what I could get in the marketplace and stuff like that. And so that Great Scott video, he actually did offline switcher to 12 volts. And I'll link that in, too.
Let me put it is it... So he's done a power supply...
Yeah, it was just a simple one. And so... And
right.
So it was a
have to watch it.
Offline to 12 volts, and then the 12 volts he put into LTC 3780, right? And so there's this breakout board you can buy off eBay for like $20, and it's you know so it's basically just huge inductor. It's four transistor buck boost, you know. So the it's just a controller from Linear Tech. May they rest in peace. And then I can do, I forget what I can do on the output. It can do a pretty significant swing, but then it's just programmable with a potentiometer, right? So basically you can do current limiting, you can do,
how did he digitally adjust the voltage? Did he put
he
in
didn't.
A pot?
No,
like
he didn't,
E-pot?
He didn't digitally. So
oh,
basically,
okay. He actually used a real pot.
Right. He was using a real pot. He wired to the front panel. And I mean, it was a really nice build. It basically went into a project box.
There's nothing wrong with that. Like the micro supply might even could even have that. It could have a real pot. But to get a large range, to get resolution on a large range, you really need a multi-turn pot.
Oh, sure, sure. No, I'm not worried about the pot. I mean, it's really more about what I was wondering about with that kind of thing is thinking about, okay, so you've got a DC to DC supply, right? The 12 volt is going to be rock solid, right? Those supplies, I mean, those offline switchers, those things can crank like 20 amps or something, like some significant amount in a pretty small packet, maybe 10 amps, but pretty small package. Right. So the things that I think about are like high frequency noise, of course. These are both, there's two switching supplies in line with no linear component to knock down noise. There's no filtering as well. Excuse me. And then the load, I mean, it doesn't seem like there's a known load. So it seems like there would be a potential, like an unstable situation. Now he talks about some.
Not really, because that's what the output capacitance does, is keeps it stable with no load.
Okay.
Generally. So, these things will be stable with no load. That isn't a problem.
Okay.
That might be an issue.
So that's not
unless
an issue,
it's a really piss poor converter.
Right. Linear tech stuff I like, so I mean that's fine.
Yeah. The main problem with designing power supplies like this is how do you do the constant current stuff?
Mm-hmm.
That's the hard part. You can do if you just want a voltage output supply, it's done like that.
Uh-huh.
You know.
Right.
Bang.
Right.
It's just so
easy. You're talking about putting feeding that then into a current controller basically, right?
Yes, and then you've got to have current control then and then it's got to seamlessly switch over with no overshoot and everything else from constant voltage to constant current mode when you go into that, and that's a big part of the problem
and that's what people are used to. It's more about expectations of like I'm used to a bench supply that can do that with no problem, you're saying.
And that's what a portable bench supply does. I mean, I wouldn't want to release one that's just a voltage output. Like, it's got to have programmable current limit. Otherwise, it's not really a bench supply.
Well, this thing does have, I mean, it has a current limit. I'm not sure if it...
It'll have an overload limit, but it's probably not adjustable. You're talking about the Great Scott one.
No, it is adjustable. So it's this LTC module. So that's what that's what's interesting about it. I'm not sure how it might have other circuitry on board, but this one specifically. Okay. So I have one on order showing up tomorrow, so I'm going to try it out.
Wait, what's the number? Is it the LTC 3780?
It's a 3780. I think.
I've got the data sheet up here.
Okay.
And it does do current sense. It's got a 10 milliohm current sense resistor, but I don't see programmable.
So this is a module though as well. So
okay, right, yeah. Okay.
So this thing is called. Right. It's got a really weird name too. It's the same on eBay.
I see that you can buy them on eBay.
So
there's like tons of.
Yeah. And so this is an
Is that kind of the one he used?
So this
On
is
his
called,
eBay?
it's weird too. So it's automatic pressure lifting power, constant voltage current. It's got this really weird name that doesn't make any sense to
Right.
me. But it says high efficiency, blah, blah, blah. I mean, and the curve looks great as well. So
Send me
it's
a
just,
link.
let's see.
So I'm going blind here. Oh, I'm
So this is the
not going.
Amazon one.
Oh, okay. Oh, it's Amazon. Okay, let me
Well,
have a
that
look.
so just because
All
I
right.
can get cheap shipping,
Here we go.
that's the real reason. There's an eBay. There's a bunch of eBay ones though too.
Oh, they're the same as the one I just saw on eBay. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And so basically, input you can do like 5 volts to 24 volts, something like that. And you know, it is a true buck boost. That's nice. And
Oh, okay.
it's got a heat
Yes,
sink
it
on the
does.
back. That's
Okay.
nice too. But yeah, so it's got. I think the middle pot is the current limit. So I don't know. I'm gonna
Oh,
rip this thing
okay.
apart tomorrow.
Right.
We'll see. But
Okay. Right.
so what I was wondering about
Nice.
though, so I was looking at a couple of things. One was I was thinking about, okay, so
Have
now
they got the circuit for this? Sorry. Have they got the
I haven't
Does
seen
anyone
it.
have the circuit for this? Because this is not a, is this a Linear Technology designed module, or is
I'm
it
guessing
just somebody's?
this is based off of the reference design. There's like six or seven reference designs in the data
Oh,
sheet.
in the data sheet.
Yeah,
Okay, right.
so
Okay, I'll scroll down.
yeah.
All right.
And I can
Got
actually
it.
share with people here on the video chat as well. But yeah, and so I mean it's well, not very good reviews, but so
This might be a good chip right off the bat for our new brainstorming thing tomorrow,
oh
because
yeah,
you
it's a good
kind of
starting
do
point.
need a buck boost
Right.
kind
Well,
of
and I
thing,
was so I
because
was looking at
like
that too. Like so I was looking at like different like supplies that are out there. You can, you know, it's easy to get 12 volt supplies, 48 volt supplies. So like 48 volt supplies, I think of like industrial, right? So like industrial,
right.
you know, offline that are powering, you know, 24, 48, whatever, you can just plug that right in and go. 12 volt, you know, you can get off a PC power supply if you really wanted to, right? I mean, and those things at significant currents too. That's what's crazy about it. So
Right.
yeah.
Interesting.
So yeah, it's a probably a good starting place. I was looking at, and that's the other thing too. I was looking at the, so I was last night I was searching for through a bunch of different data sheets, and the current limits seem like they're pretty low as well. I was also searching for low noise, right? And so
Right.
that's when they start to actually go through the linear region on the FETs and then give up some efficiency for less square wave, you know, bang bang turn on and off kind of stuff. So
Yeah, but yeah, so you either have to filter the crap out of it. Is it a fixed frequency, or is it one of these variable
it's
frequency
variable
jobbies?
frequency,
Okay, yeah, that makes it a little bit harder.
So, but yeah, you need to put like some huge L's and C's on the output,
Or
right?
the only other way to do it is to have some sort of tracking regulator on the output,
Sure,
to
and then you give
convert
up efficiency
switching
for that.
into the linear. But if it's a tracking one, then you're only losing like a you can use an a low dropout regulator, and you could only have the input like 500 millivolts above the output or something like that. You could
Oh, when you say tracking, you mean you have it floating on the power rail or something?
no, by tracking I mean the input to the linear regulator tracks a volt or two above the output of the linear regulator. I actually did this in one of my original micro supply designs.
Interesting.
It just so that you limit, so you gain the advantage of the. I could probably maybe pull up. Nah, too hard to pull up the schematic. The advantage of the low dropout. Sorry, the advantage of the low noise linear regulator, but you also get the like decent efficiency, because it's not like you got to feed in 12 volts to the linear reg and get 3.3 volts out, and you piss away all that
So
power.
is that a special part though, or what is that?
No, you can there's ways to do it. You
Okay.
can I did it with a transistor follower or something
Okay.
before the
Oh,
linear amp.
interesting.
I can't remember, it
So
was
you
years
just
ago.
look up tracking linear power, tracking
Tracking
linear
linear
circuit.
regulator, and
Yeah.
yeah, you'll probably
Okay.
yeah if you search it
Yes.
on YouTube.
Google
I think I
images.
did a specific
Google
video on
images,
that. I
folks.
think one of my 15-part video series
Oh,
was
yeah.
doing the tracking pre-regulator.
Right.
Search YouTube right now
Right,
for a
right.
tracking pre-regulator. It's probably there. Anyway,
Yeah.
okay, we've been ignoring our chat people.
Yeah, sorry.
This is supposed to be
It
like
was.
a live
I know,
interactive thing.
we're not very good at that stuff. I always forget, you
Stuck,
know?
aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, here we go. Okay, well, let's go. We pissed away half the show, so let's
What do you mean? Well, this is good, Dave. We're talking about electronics.
Mark's
Come
gone.
on, man.
Mark's gone already.
Yeah, well, yeah.
He's so got, Smitty, yeah, I know. It's probably the best technical stuff we've had for a while. Will there be more videos for the micro supply, asked Rob Morley. No. Until it's finished,
until it's done,
and then I'll do after the fact.
Right. Me and There's Dave, no me and Dave have commiserated about that before. Showing,
yes, we have.
Showing how the sausage is made. People say that phrase about, you know, you don't want to see how it's made. Some people do want to see how it's made, but they also like telling you how it should be done better.
Exactly. And it's just, I was just inundated. Yeah. I could not handle the amount of emails and comments and other things
I
got.
I mean, that thing is different now too, though, right? So you also now have David to work with, right? So that's like, before it was like, oh, well, let's do this as like a back and forth kind of thing. But instead of having one person to bounce an idea off, have you had, I don't know, how big's your forum? Well, 2,000 people at a time?
I wasn't even doing that. It was just like, oh, here's my hobby project. And I thought I'd just shoot video as I went and did it. Mm. And hobby projects always change. You know, it's not like I was doing a professional design where I set the specifications and I rigidly follow it and, you know, all that sort of stuff. It was just me dicking around. And a lot of people didn't like that. They didn't understand, you know, why I was dicking around and changing my mind all the time is because that's just how I wanted to do it. I was just having fun. And a lot of people didn't understand that. So that didn't go down too well.
Yeah. Well, you know, can't please them all.
Yep. Anyway, Dave, any interest in doing a tutorial demo covering protection devices, PTCs, NTCs, MOVs, GDTs, crowbars? Potentially. Yeah,
that's
we
a
could.
Idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been meaning to do one on input, input protection. So that would be PTCs and GDTs and other, you know.
Right. PTC is positive temperature
PBS
coefficient. If people don't know,
PTC. It's a misnomer because it's a varista,
right?
Is its proper name.
Right.
But it's a varista with a positive temperature coefficient, so they just call them PTCs. And it actually has nothing to do with
It's just the behavior of how
device.
It does it, though, right? So it's instead it's when it's got too much power through it, then it turns on, whereas an NTC...
It increases resistance. No, it's always on. It increases resistance.
Oh, sure.
So it's nominally, when it's cold and there's no current flowing through, it's like a one K or 2K.
Non-linear, right? How about that?
So,
right. But the thing to know is that you do PTC when you want it to protect from overloading at the, you know, later on, whereas NTC, you do that if you want to make sure you don't have too much current at the beginning, because then it's,
right.
Because you get a big current dump going into capacitors
or
something, right?
Yeah. So anyway, and so I've covered a few of these. Like,
crowbars. I remember you doing something on, right? No?
Oh, I don't know. I did like a multimeter input protection video, which specifically just covered all the input protection devices for a meter, but not in general electronics, because it changes depending on what you're trying to do. I did a teardown the other day, and it used TVS diodes, but specifically ones designed for the telecoms industry.
Yeah.
They were a specific telecom part, you know. And if you're designing telecoms gear, like, you know, big incoming lines, they could have lightning strikes or people shorting crap out on at their home. You know, you don't want all that, you know. So they're specific devices. So it changes a lot. If you're just trying to protect against ESD, that's another requirement again entirely.
Yep,
it's just there's so many variations.
There are.
It's
and
almost
it's tough
too
for
hard
people.
To put in one video.
It is, and it's. I think the hard thing is usually like. So do you remember when I was there? And remember, was it not Garrett? Was that who was showing us around the dinosaurs? Play the robots and dinosaurs.
Gav.
That's right, Gavin. Yeah.
Gav.
So remember, he was talking about. He was showing. He talked about that system of like the visual storage, and what he was talking about. He said the benefit of this is it's a visual profiler so that you can basically remember, oh, I have an M3 screw over here, right? And it's like you have this inventory. I think about it the same thing there. It's like you have to kind of learn how each of these things works individually so that when you encounter a new problem, you're like, oh, well, an MOV might be good here or a PTC might be good here. You know,
they're part of your visual building block, your mental building block of parts, you know.
That's unfortunately, like, you just got to build it up over time. You know, like, like you're saying, each of these things probably, PTC, NTC could be its own video, right? Where you get Shari to do,
but
like,
hour-long
of
they're not even
experimentation.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, Bob, Rob asked, do I know general specs I'm looking for? No, we're just going to brainstorm it.
Was he talking about the micro supply?
He's talking about the micro supply, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, and I guess the other thing, too, is that, like, I wonder about the noise stuff, too. Like, I'm always surprised that some of these switching supplies are lower noise than I expect, but then you also have to track them over their load as well, right? Because sometimes...
Oh, yeah, it changes. Yeah.
Right, yeah, because the switches kick on more or less, so...
And the higher your current, the less effective your output caps become and stuff like that. It's right, in right, combination yeah. with your inductors and combination with the frequency, which might change with load as well. It's like, it's all over the shop.
Right.
So you
think though, 12 volt out, that's what I was going to ask.
I would be happy with 12 volts. Like for
yours
a little
is completely
portable
decoupled,
supply.
Though. That's the idea, right?
This is not a bench supply. Right, this is designed to be a portable little supply you just have on your desk or you take with you, you throw it in your backpack or whatever, right? And I'd be happy with 12 volts because most electronic stuff you're going to be dealing with, you don't need more than 12 volts.
Yeah.
Like, it just
doesn't if you happen. Do, you probably should be at a bench, right? I mean, that's kind of
you probably should be at a bench and have a real supply and you probably need 3 amps or something, you know?
Right. Well, and so that's the thing I was thinking about too is that so this supply, what I started thinking about and what I talked to – former guest Jason about, right? So Jason Cirundolo, USB-C, he does USB-C stuff, right? And I was always really jazzed on the idea of USB-C, if you could get that to kick out at the right, you know, if you had the proper supply, you could get 20 volts at 5 amps. I still haven't seen anything that uses that much. He did the Easy Bake Oven, right? So
yep, that's right. I think we talked about that on the show, didn't we? We talked about maybe having a supply that connected. That was the original idea from my micro supply when I first started it. Oh, was it before the EEV blog? I don't know.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. Because I can remember I was working at Altium. And the editor of Silicon Chip magazine happened to be dropping by because he, you know, hangs out there occasionally.
Because what else is there to do in Australia with the electronics industry?
Right. Well, he isn't far away, right? They're both on the northern beaches, right? So he dropped by and he knew I was working there. So he found my cubicle and he dropped by and, you know, wanted to say hi. And I happened to have my little micro supply with me and I showed it to him and said, oh, I'm thinking about, you know, maybe I'll actually, you know, submit this as an article in Silicon Chip. And he was, wow, yes, we need that. And it just never.
For free. we don't want to pay you either.
I changed the design again. And then, you know, it was, but it was supposed to be USB powered. That was the original idea. It's simply you plugged in your USB port. And it gave you variable voltage, variable current display up to the limit of your USB port capability.
So I was thinking about this whole thing because of this thing, because of the analog discovery, right? So that's what I've been using a lot lately. And I wanted to build one for that, but basically extending. They only have plus minus five volts, but I'd actually like to have that track up to maybe to 50 volts, but I don't. That's probably too much.
Oh god,
maybe 25 volts though. Like,
that's even too high.
I know, but like I'm just saying that like as like an upper limit, but. But really, it's about the power delivery stuff, right? So you actually, this thing can do, I think, 2 watts if you have it plugged in with the DC jack. But I never use that.
With the USB.
Yeah, because USB standards are only 2.5 watts, right? So
I don't still have anything that has a USB-C thing. Like,
oh well, you don't have a MacBook Pro, Dave.
No, I don't have a MacBook. Like, you know, so USB-C is like, in theory, it sounds great, but like.
Well,
if I don't have one, then, you know, I can't even use my own.
The real thing I think about with all this stuff is my thinking about this is actually as a travel device, right? So, you're going to have some kind of like some realistic expectations. Yeah, it might be a little bit bulkier than you want it to be. It's not going to look like an Apple product, whatever, no big deal. But like if I could legitimately plug my charger in that I use for my MacBook, right? And that's 68 watts. And it could get all 68 watts into this power supply, and then it converts it properly. That'd be a best case scenario, I think, because you're never going to get stopped at an airport for a power supply for a computer, right?
Right.
So, but what I really think about, I remember with micro supply, you were talking about having a battery, like switch battery.
Yeah, battery. There'd be a battery thing, and
and it'd be charged. Bigger and bigger batteries, it's like, all right, well, that starts to look a little bit more and more shady, right? I mean, maybe not.
But the whole idea with the battery one is that you can use it anywhere. Like, you don't have to plug it in. Like if I'm working at my desk here, I often, you know, if I'm doing a PC-based project or whatever, working on the desk, I'm running out of PowerPoints. I don't want to scramble under the desk, find another bloody PowerPoint for just a power supply, right? It's it's just pain in the ass. So
yep. Yeah, no, I agree.
That's going to be our focus.
Yeah.
So, yep.
So Sebastian asked, would you be powering it with like something like an 18650, right? So we had talked about the DIY Powerwall.
The last design I did had an 18650.
It's just one of them.
Well, actually, I did two previous designs, which are on my YouTube channel. One used an 18650. Another one used a square prismatic cell.
Another battery.
Similar. Yeah, a little bit. It was. I went for a little portable one that had like a little tiny custom.
Got it. Square cell. But still only like the 3.7 volt output kind of thing.
No.
Or stacked.
It would actually boost. It'd boost. So it'd be a single cell. It'd be a single 3.7 volt cell. And then it could boost up to 12 or whatever and go completely adjustable.
I see.
Yep.
And so when you say adjustable too, you mean to have it linearly, like have a linear adjuster on the end, or you would actually have it adjustable on the switcher?
Depends on the topology being used.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily need to use a switcher. Yeah. So.
Interesting. Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah, no. I think my last design, I had a programmable boost converter that boosted it up. And then I had followed that with a tracking linear regulator.
To knock off the peaks.
Yeah, and you just didn't worry about having buck and boost because it was only 3.7 volts. So if you wanted to output 1.5 volts, for example, you just didn't worry about doing the negative, like a switcher, a buck switcher. You just didn't worry. You just pissed away the extra power. Uh-huh. Yeah. You simply bypassed
it. Oh, that's a good idea.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you switch the switcher off, then it's just a diode straight through. It's just a diode bypass.
Right. Yep.
So, you can physically switch the switcher off and then just feed it straight into the linear regulator if you want lower than your battery voltage.
Got it. That makes sense. Yep, yeah, and then that would be a super clean signal then. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you could physically switch the switcher off. Yeah,
that's an interesting idea. So, and then it's just a capacity thing, right? How much current could you get out of the battery? And then
Yep.
Okay. That's cool. That's a good idea.
Exactly. So, yeah, 18650s, because they're the
industry. People pretty much should be using these for everything. Like,
well, except for the fact that volumetrically, they're quite...
Awkward.
Inefficient, yeah, because they're cylinders, right? Yeah. So you can't pack...
Right. But those clips, you can now get like the clips that are, you can actually solder into your circuit board.
My X-splitter stopped working.
Oh no, Dave, do you not pay for a license?
Whoa.
You should just, all right, our first thing here. Dave, you should just switch it in, you don't even use it, just switch it in Skype.
No, hang on.
Well, anyways, I was talking about projects where I've seen a couple where the clips actually solder into the board, and so it's a super low cost thing as well. You don't need to actually get like a plastic holder. I thought I remember seeing one where it was just metal clips soldered directly into the board that could actually hold and transfer charge from a 18650. So,
right.
And Brian Benchoff says, "Hello, Brian Benchoff." He says, great, we now just have Chris to look at. He's not wrong. All right, Dave's back.
I'm back, am I?
Yep.
I'm back. All right, sorry about that. It's still loading. I don't know. Oh, there we go. Yep, I'm back. I have no idea. Maybe it was because it was recorded at the same time. Yeah. So, I don't know. Well, anyway, I'm back.
I think we're doing pretty good from a tech perspective.
First live show. This is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yes, luckily. Pat on the back ass.
Yes.
Yeah. So that was not my connection. That was just XSplit doing, my PC. And I'm running Windows 7 with XSplit. I don't know.
Like, yeah. Yep.
Who knows? So, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I lost my YouTube feed as well.
No big deal.
So I have to get that back. Anyway. Oh, no. There's the chat. Still there. Hello, people.
So should we switch the list or we're good on...
Yeah, maybe we should. Hey, I tell you what, I've got a peeve. Can we have the...
I was like, can't you hold it? A couple, 20 more minutes, Dave. 20 more.
Can you pull up, because you're the one doing the feed, pull up an image of the Rigol constant...
Rigol, I saw this on your Twitter feed, yeah.
Load, yes.
Yes.
The Rigol load, I can't see the number.
Yeah.
The 3102 or something. 3012 or something. Hello, that's my Twitter feed.
There's your Twitter feed.
Oh, there we go.
Is this just about the fonts? Is that the one?
Yeah, it's just like, can you zoom out the image? Can you? Yeah, look at this. Look at how many fonts are there. I think somebody counted four or five. Look at the reverse italics.
Yeah, I saw that. That was my favorite one that matches. People that are just listening, Dave has a picture on his Twitter, which we'll link in, of course. But it's like the button is like a parallelogram, and it's instead of the parallelograms shifting to the right and then the italics also shifting to the right like normal. No, going the other way.
It shifts to the left and the italics is leaning to the left, and it's just like my mind just exploded and like I was like almost going to have a fit.
Yeah.
You know, because and then look at the function font. Like what the hell is going on there? Like it's just nuts.
Right.
Like
Dave the typographist. Typographer. Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like even I know that's bad. Like
right.
Know,
that's probably the best.
I know nothing
right
about. Right. Yeah. So anyway, we can switch back now. Okay. That was pretty horrific.
Yeah.
So I should have done a first impressions video because I just took it out of the box. I was sitting on the floor playing with the damn thing, and I was going, "Oh, it doesn't have this. Why doesn't it have this? Why? You know?
Yeah.
Like anyway.
So this is for testing, like solar cell stuff.
It's
like
a
that
load.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a load. So if it
it can actually do 150 at 40 amps. It can do 150 at what, an amp and a half or something. 200 watts.
It's a completely adjustable load, so it can do
right. I just mean like the envelope, though, right? So like the
The power envelope is the total power, so it's a 200 watt.
Okay.
So as long as you keep within the 200 watts,
right? If you're 150, you only get one amp, right?
Yeah. For example, 1.25 or something. Yeah.
I don't know if it really matters here, Dave, but you are super laggy. So just so you know.
I'm super laggy, am I? Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Anyway.
At least we have your dulcet tones in our ears.
But we could still hear each other. The audio is not
lagging. It switched back,
though.
So it's good now. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Yep.
Have you been watching Keysight's YouTube series on oscilloscope front ends? Oh, no.
I have not. I have actually been watching. I've been actually, surprisingly, their Instagram channel. Like I've watched some of their videos.
Really?
But like, yeah, their Instagram channel is like, not bad.
I don't
understand Instagram as like an electronics.
I don't understand Instagram at all.
Well, you use it now, though. I'm just saying that reaching users, though, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I guess we're on there, but it's cheaper.
Yeah, I'm on there. It's just it's just because I figure like if I feed it through Instagram, then it'll automatically feed to my Twitter as well.
Sure,
so
I get
may
that,
as
but I'm
well
just
create a
right,
you know,
right?
Yeah. I basically have it for free. It doesn't require any extra effort on my part.
Mm-hmm.
So are Keysight the ones that have been are finally maybe getting a YouTube channel right? Perhaps, because usually corporate YouTube channels suck ass.
Right. Well, I love stuff like this. This is like technical content, right? So like,
yeah,
this is the stuff that I used to try and put out technical content for SpliFrame stuff. I remember Matt, the guy from Analog Devices. Do you remember? Did you ever watch any of his stuff? He was an analog guy from Analog Devices.
Yes, Matt. What's his name?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Matt.
But it was like a whiteboard where he was writing backwards
on whiteboards.
On a screen.
That
Matt, stuff is
Duff?
Great.
Duff,
I think.
Matt
Duff. Matt
Duff.
Yeah, I think that's
I
it.
Think it's Matt,
but that kind
I think
of stuff
Matt
is
Duff.
Just, I mean, like.
Yeah, he did some good videos.
That's great. And if there's people listening that are FAEs and stuff like that, like that kind of stuff, I mean, this Keysight stuff is great because.
Yep.
Because it's basically, it's like having an FAE, but in YouTube. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is the kind of stuff that they would come in and do seminars for, but I don't get that anymore. Dave doesn't get that anymore, you know?
Is that the trend? No, but is that the, I mean, YouTube is called YouTube, right? It's about you. It's about the individual.
Is that right? Guy who makes his living? YouTube?
Yeah, you. It's me.
People
watch my YouTube channel for me.
I don't think so. I think it's the distribution channel like any other social media thing. I don't think
No. That's for you, just your general searches. But for people who subscribe and watch religiously, they watch because of the person. That's why these corporate YouTube channels, no matter how good they are, not just in our industry, but any industry, they get zero traction. Zero, no matter how good they are. People just don't seem to want to follow a corporate YouTube channel.
I guess so.
It just
I follow the DigiKey one because they do like they're not very good. They're like product releases, but it's really like a feed. It's like a feed of like what's new because if they're making a video about it, they're probably getting money to talk about it, whatever.
But no one goes, "Oh, Keysight or DigiKey's released a new video. I've got to watch
the latest one." Yeah, I know, right? I'm gonna sit down with my cup of cocoa.
No, it's called YouTube for a reason.
I get all that. You're right about that, but. Yep. But at the same time, if you're already there, you know, and it's similar content, I don't really care, you know.
Well, you know.
I might or might not follow it. I don't know. I'm very fickle, Dave. I'm very fickle. yeah.
Any other questions? Come on, fire it at us. It'll take 10 seconds to come through, I'm sure. But,
yeah. Yeah, well, we'll keep doing that.
We've got like 10 minutes left or something.
I know. But this has been a good experiment so far.
This has been good. Well, we'll get feedback. How many viewers we got?
We were up to like 24, I thought.
25 watching 25. Now. Yeah. Yep. Six Great. Thumbs up.
All right. Yeah, we don't have many followers on a YouTube channel either.
No,
so people, we'll put a link in the notes as well. We do have show notes.
So we both tweeted it. But right, you know, but like
people wouldn't get the net message about it unless they were subscribed to the YouTube channel.
Unless they're exactly.
I don't know, Dave. It's YouTube. YouTube, Dave.
It's YouTube. No, that's
I can't
believe you don't subscribe to that viewpoint that YouTube is all about the personality of the channel.
I don't disagree with that. I'm obviously talking to a large personality. A bit of bluster.
Seriously, tell me a corporate YouTube channel in any field.
Oh, we have an example that we used to cite all the time and then it flopped on them. Remember NI's old channel?
Yeah, but no, people didn't even care that was National Insurance. People watched it for him. Mm-hmm. What's his name? Sorry, I forget his name.
I don't remember either. That was like 6 years ago now. It was
seven years ago. It was the channel died like a year after I started my channel. Yeah, he was like, I looked up to that going, wow, imagine if I could get as many viewers as he got, you know? Yeah, and he just, left the company and gave it up. Because NI owned, what was the name of it?
Engineering something. It was that engineer in the title.
The Engineering Mind. Yeah. So NI owned the name.
Yeah.
So he just stopped doing it.
Yep.
So he was like the biggest thing back 8 years ago or whatever. And but people watched
but
it.
But that
for
was
him.
Early days though.
Did not
yeah.
watch it because it was National Instruments. In fact, it wasn't the National Instruments channel. It was on the Engineering Mind channel.
That's a good point. Yep.
Set up their. No one would have watched it if it was on the National Insurance.
Well, regardless, I think this stuff is solid technical content like this. I think it's good that they're filming it. I hope they get
it's
a really clear shot of the whiteboard and really good audio. That's all I ask. Yep. Just audio. Just get it all. Everything else wrong. Just give me the audio.
Everyone's talking Bob Pease. Yeah. See, National Instruments used to have Bob Pease. They used to have a show.
Yeah.
But even that. I think would not be hugely successful, as entertaining as Bob Pease, as awesome as he is, if it has the corporate feel and it's on the corporate YouTube channel, it just puts people off.
I will agree with you on that. I will concede.
Thank you.
Yep.
What do we think of Diode magazine? I think it's I'm amazed. I've done a video on it.
Yeah.
I'm amazed that I thought I'd never see another new electronics magazine.
Well, we knew that, but what's the actual output of it? Like, is it any good?
Right, it's very well produced because the guy who produces it he runs a graphic design company. Right, so that's his day job, and he's an engineering hobbyist. Right,
so he's got the electronics hobby. Yeah.
It's kind of like it's not his full time job.
Got it.
Maybe he's hoping it will turn into that, but I don't think so. It's a tough gig.
Yeah.
He's got some new news on that, actually. He just emailed me the other day. He's getting a better price for overseas subscriptions and stuff like that.
Oh, great. So maybe get some distribution.
Anyway,
over
it's
here.
very well produced. It's not very technical, but you know. It's fine.
I think it's more nostalgic at this point, right? You can get tons of technical content online. You can get literally an unlimited amount online. So it's not like it's going to be that one source, right? It's not like Diode is coming to Dave and be like, oh, please only publish with us. He's not going to do that anymore.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So no, it's, but I think I said this in my video. The place still for the magazine is to put on your resume, right? It's like they should be very selective about the projects that they publish, and because it only comes out once a month, it's pretty infrequent,
sure,
right?
Right. Yeah, there's still something about being like a primary source, right?
Yeah, that's like they can be the standard. It's like if you get your project published in there, you've made it, right? You can put it on your resume and it's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
No, so, as it was back in the day, I still think there's something to that these days, you know? It's,
Cool.
So I think there's still a future there. Do the math on UBeam. I know Chris hates UBeam.
I do.
But I did another video.
I love Brian Benchoff, though, and you got to read the rest of this, though.
Oh, hey, Brian. Didn't realize it was Brian. Do the math on UBeam, but instead of ultrasonics, it's an insane stereo system in a 96 Honda Civic.
This is why we can't do a live show. Brian Benchoff is why we can't do a live show. If people don't know, Hackaday, Brian Benchoff.
Brian Benchoff,
friend of mine, former colleague. Yes, he's the Hunter S. Thompson of Hackaday. That's what I call him.
Is he stalking you? I'm
pretty sure he's been a troll on our site more than once, I'm sure. So.
Right. Anyways, would be a good way to reduce the switching noise when buying a module like the one you were showing? Measure its frequency first, put a scope on it, measure its switching frequency under different loads and see if it's a fixed or a variable frequency first. If it's a fixed frequency, then you can tune an LC filter to do that at, you know.
Right, and most of the stuff people are doing is probably going to be pretty, you know, it's probably more of a question of can it handle an LC on the output, right? Because like we talked about at the top, if it's balanced, then it's got a good, it's got the capacitance
feedback
calculated, right?
Stuff.
So so if you start to mess with that, you potentially could.
But that's the whole point of and modules are different to bench supplies. Bench supplies are supposed to be handle any load you can throw at.
Of course. Yep.
So, but modules might be much more picky, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So yeah, but usually an LC filter like is not going to hurt it, and then you could just do like a real higher frequency one that just takes off the. Just the high frequency stuff. Like it depends how low you want to get it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're never going to get it as low as a linear rig, right?
You want low noise, burn some power.
Right. It's a high order.
Yeah.
Get it? High order. Need a high order filter.
Got it. Okay, let's go to the list real quick because I wanted to call out this friggin' fantastic article. It was a National Geographic article, but it's about the Netherlands and showing so you got to scroll down to the second picture, right? At first, I'm like, am I looking at solar panels? Oh, I could show it here in the screen. But is this solar panels? You can see it on my screen if you want, Dave, too. That is actually greenhouses. That's what's crazy about this thing.
They are greenhouses, doing what?
It's a sea of greenhouses. So basically, Netherlands is doing all of this high-tech agriculture, basically, and doing hothouse, growth for every type of vegetable, stuff like that. Nothing new in that regard, but just in terms of the amount of tech that they're doing. But the really crazy thing is that this is a family farm. That shit blows my mind. And like, so
that
it's just
is,
like
how far does that extend?
I know,
into the
it
distance?
Just keeps going. I want to see the.
How do you build that? That's tens of millions of dollars to build all that, at least.
I mean, I'm guessing you build it in batches, but like
in batches.
They're talking like family farms are doing this kind of stuff because, like, in terms of like having stuff out there.
How is it high tech? How does it?
You keep scrolling down. You see, like, so all the stuff is LED controlled, right? So everything's LED controlled, right? They've got. They're going off.
So they're the grow lamps, are they? Is that what they are?
Yep.
Right. Jeez, imagine the power.
Exactly, right. But then you also start pulling in renewable stuff, and then you start talking about some of the monitoring that they do. They do
Look inside.
I mean, like, these are gorgeous photos, too. So people,
and they're tall, too.
Exactly.
They've got multi, you need a ladder to get up to the top levels.
Right. And so, like, this stuff is legitimately high-tech stuff. These are actually...
Wow.
This is chicken. Sorry. This is incubator here. But just like all of these pictures, I mean, it's National Geographic, so they've still got amazing stuff. There's some video interviews with all of the master students that are working out there as well. But all the monitoring they're doing, all that stuff. We had a listener write in about. So there's also stuff about cow milking and stuff like that too. There was actually a fully automated farm. I think we're able to share it. But it was a fully automated farm up in like the northern Midwest, and like so the cow walks in. Maybe we talked about this. Did we talk about this or no?
Yeah. I think it does ring a bell.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just. Yeah. I think ag tech stuff. I'm super excited about it. Like my new job might be a little bit of ag tech stuff, but I think I think it's super exciting from the perspective of like what it makes possible in terms of, you know, better food production. Obviously, you know, there's distribution issues and stuff like that too, but you know, they do a ton of geothermal stuff too. Oh man, it's just like so much cool stuff. I'm very excited about it. And so I think
The Netherlands.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of opportunity for people that are you know, in the electronics space too, for you know, that some of it is the you know, you got to get sensors, you got to get all that stuff going and doing that nicely, but like I just think there's a lot of projects that could be really benefit there. So yeah,
cool.
Great article.
Right, another article which I wanted to do is Edward Snowden.
Oh yeah.
And our good mate buddy.
Yep.
Huang. They teamed up and they've written this paper and actually published this very extensive paper. We'll just link it in. Mm-hmm. And it is ridiculous about the security of mobile phones and stuff. And they've gone in and they've hacked phones to test security. And I haven't read the whole thing yet because it is very extensive. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's great.
Yeah. Right. So basically, anyway, if you're into they're checking to see if you're getting monitored. So they have external monitoring on iPhones, basically. I think that's kind of the basis of it all. So so are you being watched? You need some kind of external monitor to do that. So pretty neat stuff.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and Bunny wanted to talk about it. He was not able to talk about it when he was on the show last. I think he had finished the work with Snowden, but they had not published it yet, I guess. So
right, yep. Yeah. So there's a lot of effort's gone into publishing this.
Yeah.
So, wow. Yep.
I wanted to call out this one. Have you seen this video? The this is actually a great one. The this is from, I forget his name. Crud. Strange Parts. Basically.
Oh yes.
He added a jack back onto the.
Added a jack. It took him a couple of months or whatever through China, but he managed to, and he designed his own flex board.
Right.
And
it kind of showed his progress in terms of soldering as well. I think his name, Scott? I forget his name. Sorry.
Yeah. Strange Parts is his YouTube channel. He's only got two videos up. One where he made his own iPhone in China.
Right.
From
right.
scratch. And one
views.
Where he added the headphone jack. Yeah.
Yep.
Very cool. I've actually subscribed to his channel now.
Yeah.
Yep. So I hope he publishes more stuff. It's very cool. Watch it. It's fascinating. It's a fascinating insight into Shenzhen and getting stuff done and things like that.
Yeah.
Yep.
What else is on here? We're running out of time. We are running out of time.
We are over time, I think.
Yeah. Oh, this is interesting. So I get this newsletter regularly. PCH has a newsletter around.
Who's PCH?
PCH does manufacturing. So that's Liam Casey, and they were based out of Ireland, but then they also have. Highway 1, that's their that's one of the accelerators or startup thingies in San Francisco, but then they've also got a bunch of manufacturing overseas. Anyway, so this is a newsletter that I get. It's called Hardware Weekly. And so it's just a lot of good stories around this is where I source some of the stories around for the Amp Hour and stuff like that. But the interesting thing here is kind of if you look at the funding news, right? So I don't really put too much, you know, credence into what I'm reading here, but it's just kind of interesting to see this week to week to week, right? So what they do is they track what hardware companies are actually raising money and how much, right? And so like the one that surprised me on the list this week was John Deere purchased smart robotics company Blue River Technology for $300 million. Like I hadn't heard about that at all, right?
If people don't know, John Deere is a farm tractor company.
Right.
They make tractors.
That's right. And
John Deere tractors.
And so
that murders weeds with AI.
Yeah. John Deere spent $300 million on a company that murders weeds with AI, right? And so it's like, the argument against John Deere these days is John Deere gets a lot of crap because they're the ones where they lock down their firmware. They say you don't own these tractors.
You don't even own your tractor anymore.
$400,000 though, right? I mean, that's the crazy thing.
Yeah.
Because they want to make sure.
That's probably why they're worth $1 billion or whatever, and they can afford to spend $300 million buying a company.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, this is locking
every bastard
business.
In. Yeah.
Right. Yep. Exactly. I mean, that's the thing about farming that's interesting too. That's why that farming, the Netherlands thing was interesting to me, is because if it actually is possible to get that automation at a smaller level, then smaller farmers can start to compete with these, you know, multinationals, because that's the way that agriculture is going. So, anywho,
cool.
So there's other things that are getting funded. There's always stuff in here about robotics, drone vision analysis, autonomous drones, home service robots, like and all these things. Like, these things I've never heard of. Rubo, a Chinese maker of home service robots, rolled out a $53 million Series B. Like, okay. You know, like, there's all this stuff that's just under the surface. And unfortunately, VC, like, news is one of the few ways to get visibility into it. Or, like, this InnoViz.
There's so much money just floating around. It's just insane.
Well, it's just... you could get $120 million and flush it down a toilet. Yes, a moment of silence,
or
Dave.
Flush it down your juicer.
That's right. A moment of silence for Juicero.
It was inevitable. You could have bet your life that company was going to fold.
I was talking to some today. How many juices? Maybe AVE talked about this, because he did that great teardown of it too. About the Weefy. how many juices could you have bought for $120 million? At $12, you could have bought 100.
Yeah, I know.
You could have bought 10 million of them, right? So if you paid $12 per juice. 10 million juices for people.
I tweeted that the Juicero, because they're going to have to scrap all these, right? All the ones they got in good stock, presumably.
Oh, geez, yeah.
I was going to say that I tweeted that the Juicero will be the 2040s equivalent of the ET game cartridge. It was like people will be digging these things up in like 30 years' time.
Oh, that makes
going,
me sad.
Geez, remember this Juicero? Look, we found them.
Oh, the machine found them was all so done. Nice, though. I mean,
It was insane. So that'll be interesting to see how they get rid of that, how they dispose of that company. Right?
Yeah, right. Like, what's the shutdown?
Yeah, because presumably they've got all these manufacturers sitting in a warehouse somewhere, and
yeah.
That was dumb.
Let's see. So we've got a couple more questions. Stefan asked, "What happened to my portable lab? It is currently sitting in my closet.
He realized it wasn't that practical.
Well, it's definitely not practical from like a traveling perspective. I mean, like, that was an extra suitcase. I used to have two rolling suitcases." And now what I've switched over to is the analog discovery for like in a pinch kind of things, but portable lab in terms of like having like a structured thing, that was that was the false assumption that it needed to have this fixed setup. Whereas it's like you're probably just gonna throw it in a bag anyway. So that's what I really should have done.
It'd be cool if it was like a little thin thing like this that just sat underneath your notebook. Or whatever, something like that would be cool, you know.
Oh, kind of like a 1U.
It's such a niche market.
Not a 1U, but like you're talking about like rack mount kind of thing that could fit. But the thing is, that's not very practical from a carrying perspective, right? Maybe if it matched the outline of the notebook.
Of the notebook or whatever, and it was just, you know, a centimeter thick or something like that. And,
sure.
You know, it had everything built in.
Right, so kind of like that NI digital bench thing. Like, because that's a nice piece of
gear.
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's a nice bit of gear.
Grand,
yeah, but it's
you know.
Large, and it's, that's for the bottom of the range model. You know?
Is it really? Oh, geez.
Yeah. I think it goes up to like $6,000 or $8,000, depending on the bandwidth.
Right,
yeah.
And so basically the thing that I got to is that most of the time I'm not going to be soldering on the road. Most of the time I don't need full scope, everything else. And definitely doesn't need all of the... If you just throw it in a bag, you don't need to have all the padding because you have it in your possession, right? So,
well, if you're on the road, you've probably already got an existing project you want to work on, and you just want to power it up and write code for it.
I think Porta Lab idea should have been replaced by like a electronics go bag, right? That's kind of really the thing, and that's what I have now. It's like just a couple boxes of, you know, parts and extra modules and whatever I need. So,
right. Yeah. But you're in a different position because your job or part of your job is to do electronics tutorials.
Sure.
And you're always on the road. So, you know, you have a fairly unique need for that sort of thing.
Sure. Yeah. Right. I,
Yeah,
most of the time.
And technically, yeah. I've got that now with my Microsoft Surface tablet, right, with the pen-based drawing. If I'm on holidays or whatever and I decide, oh, I want to, you know, or I need to, you know, do a video, I can just do a 10-pen-based tutorial or something like that.
Cool, yeah.
You know, and, yeah, so I can churn those out on the beach, you know. It's like I can be sitting on the beach.
Yeah. Alvin asked TS-100. I'm not sure what that refers to.
I have no idea what a TS-100 is.
And then Rob Morley asked about the our opinions on the iPhone. We are the wrong people to ask about that.
I have no idea what an iPhone even is.
The things that I pay attention to... Really?
It's a serious... Like, I've never had... I'm going to have to actually buy one because...
Oh, for the DMM.
Maybe not new one, because we're developing the app, the 121 GW multimeter app, and you need an iPhone to test it on and do the software development, and you need a Macintosh as well.
Oh, wow.
So
you're in for a bit of a bill going to the Cupertino. So, huh?
Yeah. I'm just going to buy like a secondhand 6 or something. Whatever.
So the thing that we always talk about with this is the thing to pay attention to is what Bunny talks about, right? So when Bunny was on the first time and stuff he's talking about in the past, the reason you look at this is because whatever's in these phones, the sensors that are in these phones specifically, that's the stuff that's going to be like, give it 2-3 years. Those sensors are way cheaper because they're sourcing, people are working on it, they're getting more out in the market, and then you can use that in for further products because they'll become more available. And so I think there was like a new camera, like an interesting, like a dot matrix camera mapping thing that they're using for, of course, emojis. What?
Yep.
Thank God, finally, right? So
just what I've always wanted.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's 2017, Dave. So
I don't even know what emojis are. Like,
don't
like,
worry.
I'm aware of, like, on my forum, we've got smileys. But when people started talking about these emojis, I went, what the frig are emojis? My phone doesn't even have emojis. What are they? Is it only an Apple thing? I don't know. Like, I have no clue.
So I think the other interesting thing is that, the charging stuff, so they're doing wireless over Qi, right? So that's the Qi. It's Qi. Right?
Oh, are they? They're actually using Qi. Have they made the announcement, have they?
Yes. And
It was cheap because there was a lot of speculation that the new iPhone, they'd had wireless charging, but they thought it'd be a proprietary Apple thing. So they actually went with Qi.
Yeah. Actually, the thing that I was expecting that I did not see in here is I thought they were going to switch to USB-C. Oh, and they didn't. What the hell?
No, they still got the Apple connector called?
Yeah, the Lightning connector.
Lightning
connector. Man, I was really looking forward to that because if they switch over to the USB-C, then it's like, that's it then. That's all you need, right?
Yeah, no, it's, yeah.
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 All this other stuff is, who cares, right? I mean, sure, the new chip is interesting, whatever, blah, blah, blah.
A lot of people put too much focus on the iPhone. You've got to remember, the iPhone is not the dominant smartphone on the market. It's got like 15-20% market share or something like that last time I looked. People think that the iPhone's the only smartphone that exists. It's the industry leader. It's not.
I think about it simply from a they usually lead in terms of cost and in terms of new integrations, right?
They lead in terms of hype.
No, I think they did Bluetooth low energy first. They did Bluetooth 5 first, I think.
Maybe they did the IPS screen first. I don't know. But
yeah, so I'm just saying it's just interesting to pay. The only reason to pay attention, in my opinion, is because you got to check out.
Oh, no, pay attention for sure, but don't think it's the be-all, end-all.
Oh, sure. No, right.
Their market share is still small.
I don't know if I agree with that, but it doesn't matter to me. So, like I said, just pay attention to the sensors, stuff like that. That's interesting. The other thing that I paid attention to, given my change in employment, the Apple Watch now has a SIM, not a SIM card. It is now cell connected. So you can now straight Dick Tracy it with an Apple Watch. So I think that's personally interesting. I don't know if it changes anything, but.
Okay, here we go. Oh, no, that's 2010. Sorry. Way out of date.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to look for.
Oh, you're looking for the stats on the phones.
I'm looking for the stats on the iPhone market share. I could be.
Well, while Dave's doing that, I will also mention that a user wrote to me about a meetup that they're having, and this is actually a meetup so they're just doing an electronics meetup. They're also going to be doing a KiCad night that
here
night.
We go.
It's just a generally electronics meetup. One second. Right. And I would love if people posted about them just so people can find others in their area. So this one is in Hamilton, Ontario. But if you're starting a meetup, like Dave has a meetup, I have a meetup. I forget his name, Mark, maybe. But there's a meetup there. So if you have a meetup, feel free to post it to the subreddit. We'll help promote it. I think that's really great because nerds getting together, sharing projects, drinking beer, whatever. I think that's really awesome. So.
Yep. Oh, I think I'm going to have another meetup soon.
Oh, great.
So, yep. 14.7% market share for the
Interesting.
Apple.
Wow. Okay.
Samsung have 23%.
It's still a lot.
Which is Android. And then Huawei and Oppo and Vivo, whoever the hell they are. Anyway, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. People think that they own the market. They don't. Not even close. Not even close. So, yep. Although that figure could be wrong, but hey, I got it from somewhere. It's on the internet. Can't be wrong. Must be right.
Where are Wikipedia fact checkers? Come on, man.
Oh, dear. Anyway, 2017.
All right. Last question from our audience. Elias asks, how many times have you actually used it to look something up? This
Right. I saw that.
This is not my main copy anymore. I've got the gold one. So, yeah. I've got two. Who's got one copy? Please. What am I, an amateur? That's just the one with the good notes in it. I pull that down when I need it. That's the venerated copy. So, all right. You still looking at stats?
I'm still looking at stats. I don't know. It's all too hard.
I'm sure people can look that up. We would love, so this video is going to be online and people can watch it. If you like this, I mean, like Dave was saying, like, maybe we could do this again. I don't know. It's nice to
maybe
have
maybe it would be
feedback.
A regular thing for this Amp Hour. Let us know if you want it to be the thing.
Yeah.
And we'll just pull the audio stream out of the YouTube video and then just upload that as the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because
right.
it's
I mean,
probably foolish just to edit.
We didn't have any like big. We've had some blips in the past. but yeah, I mean...
Anyway, I'm
but the
surprised
main thing would be,
held up. I'm going to...
Yeah, the main thing would be about whether it makes sense if you're interested in participating. Like, we might not read the questions every time. I don't know. I don't really personally watch... I've subscribed to a bunch of podcasts that are not... That have video that I don't care about. So, yep. Whatever.
Right.
So, yeah.
Cool. Let us know.
Yes, we pulled a 360. Wait, a 360 is the same thing, right? You go all the way around.
It's the same thing. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Did a 180. Right.
Yeah, right.
Anyway, that's it. That's our show.
Okay.
Well, thanks for joining us all. 20. Is it gonna? Have we hit 30? 30 people.
Yeah.
30 people watching. Woohoo.
Maybe more in the future. All right.
Yeah.
See
thanks,
you next
everyone.
Time.
See ya.